Hey everybody, welcome once again to Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. This is part two in our series on dating. So if you haven't listened to part one, go check out that episode on this podcast. Remember, you can find us on practically wherever you listen to podcasts, but if you're on Apple Podcasts, feel free to leave a rating and review as that can help us reach more people in this youth ministry and mentorship journey. So without further ado, we're going to get right into it and talk about dating. So we are glad to have you here with us. I mean, the first episode on this topic actually was really, really, relevant, and people really enjoyed the conversation. I've got a few messages talking about how it was relevant and something that young people talk about. And people reached out. So it seems like this is something that young people are discussing and wanting to talk about. So let's get into why we should date. And I have, of course, with me today, Nehemi, who was on the first episode, and she's back again to talk about it with me about dating in the church and how we need to do it and how we need to do it properly. It's really interesting because when we talk about dating in the church, you're not really going to find any dating conversation in the Bible. There's instances where things can look like it. The one that always comes to my mind is Jacob and how he saw two sisters. One was ugly in Leah and the other one attractive in Rachel, and he said, "Ho, I would like to get to know the attractive one, Rachel, and eventually marry her." And that's what happened, even though he was tricked into marrying the ugly one. So, Nehemi, why do you think it's important that people in the church know about dating and be given the freedom to date?
I think it's important to at least have a conversation with the youth about dating and how to date and what to look for when you're dating, how to set boundaries, what to look out for, and to allow the youth to actually step into that realm. I'm not saying to just give them liberty to like date all the time, 24/7, any and everybody. But I do know, like, when you're young or younger and you have absolutely no experience in dating, you don't know what to look for. You don't know, how do you approach it from like a Christian perspective? You know what the world perspective on dating and how they move about it, but what does the Christian perspective look like? When you don't really have that information, you don't really have that experience, it makes it a lot harder and a lot more difficult for when the time comes for, say, like you want to be married, or when you're of age to like want to settle down, you feel completely at loss, if that makes sense.
No, it makes sense. And I think this is why we're talking about this, because I greatly experienced this. I greatly experienced the not knowing what to do in the dating world, because I was one, I'll just be honest, I was a good kid. I was, not to be braggadocious or arrogant, but I tried to be very, very good. And maybe my motivations weren't pure because I just wanted to be good, so I just didn't have to hear lectures and to be bothered. But so, you know, when they said don't date, I didn't date. And by the time it was time to date, I had no clue how to date. And I was horrific at it. Horrific. Naomi, do you mind if I tell a story? Can I tell a story?
Go ahead.
On this? All right. So my first date, and it's so funny because I heard on another podcast, a Haitian young lady mention a similar situation to what I had. And that is, I put the date on such a high pedestal that there are times, then I'm scared to tell the story, but there are times where, you know, a date can be really special and important. But since I dated very little and it became like this really important occurrence, so my first ever date, you know, I didn't know what to do really. And I did the typical sitcom movie or sitcom romance comedy date, you know, dinner and a movie, right? Dinner and a movie. It doesn't get any more basic than that. But I put it on too much of a pedestal. So you know what I did? I wore a suit. I wore a suit, full on suit, as in my best Sabbath shoes and Sabbath day attire. My tie was looking good. I even had the neckerchief in the pocket square, the pocket square. I had that all set up. I had the proper umbrella because it was a rainy night. Why did I do that? I look back at this now and it's terrible. Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why? Because no one told me that, listen, on your first date, yeah, dress nice, but be casual. It's not like you're getting on one knee to propose. You don't know if she will even like you. So why are you putting on your best attire, wasting all this, and making it so difficult? That's what I would do if I got into a DeLorean, went 88 miles per hour, and went back in time that all those years ago to the young Eric, who put too much emphasis on, you know, making it like, you know, thinking I'm gonna have a Jacob and Rachel situation where I'm gonna take her out on a date and she's gonna fall in love with me and we're gonna be married forever. I wish I was back in time to tell myself don't fall for that, but I wasn't. So my father saw that I put on a suit, didn't tell me anything. My mother saw that and didn't tell me anything. They allowed me to go out. And it was a horrific first date. It was horrific. And it really took me out of dating. I started hating it and I didn't want to ever do it again. And that's why I believe we need to have these conversations. Naomi, as I told you this story, you were laughing. Educate the people. Why is wearing a suit like you're going to church to preach a sermon not a good idea on the first date, unless you're going to some place really fancy?
That story. Honestly, I think it was cute, actually. It shows effort and it shows interest, but unfortunately for you, you weren't really told like the differentiation between the different types of, like, not dating, but different types of occasions and the attire that you can wear to a date. For a situation like that, wearing like an all deck suit and tie, you could wear that to like a formal date, or if you found someone that you're genuinely interested in, like, let's say me, I'm like 25, just graduated, been to like have a steady job, met someone with like the same areas me. Like, I'm spiritually at a level where I feel comfortable enough, and that other person, like, they help push me, and I find myself, like, I don't know, more spiritually engaged with them. And we've been talking, it's been progressing. For a first date, I think that is normal to dress up. If he came out with a wrinkly shirt, I would not be allowed to leave with them, for sure. But, like, you know, dress nice, look present, like, go somewhere nice. But honestly, wow, that was bad.
Stop being nice to me. I know you care about me, but let's be honest. I bared my soul. This is a horrific story, so people may learn of it. Don't hold back. Tell the truth. Like, talk about young Eric here and tell him how he has put dating too high out of his pedestal, in that he thought that he was gonna take this girl on a date and they were gonna fall in love like a Netflix movie and get married. And that's not what the first date is for. Tell us what the first date is really for.
Yeah, I must say, from like a Christian perspective, that's kind of like the mentality that they kind of instilled in our heads. And to tell you the truth, it's unrealistic. It's not like the first, I feel like for a first date, it depends on what stage you are in life, as well as the person, how well you've known each other. For like, as a youth, if you're just starting, not just starting to date, but you feel like, let me be careful with that feel like, but you feel like you're ready to, not feel like, you're ready to like enter the relationship. You're ready for marriage. That's how I see it. If you're not ready for marriage, like, you shouldn't really be dating. Cause to me, the purpose of like dating is to be married. So if you feel like you're at a point, or you're approaching a point where you'll be ready for marriage and you want to start dating, if it's someone you have not met yet, or like you're just starting to get to know, a first date can be as casual as like a walk in a park, or going to a theme park, or going to like an outing together. It doesn't need to be so formal. I feel like in our heads, or in the Christian mindset, mostly like in the Haitian SDA church, I would say, because that's where I see it the most. When we think of dating, or like the first date, we think of like, I don't know, Disney themed type of date. And it's like, this is gonna be the one and only thing, it's gonna be perfect, all this and that. But realistically speaking, it's not always like that. Cause you could be talking to someone for a while, and then on the first date, find out that they got a habit you don't really like, or you didn't really know, or you have a conversation. You can find out so many things, and you can be like, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me. And like, so many things could happen, and so many moms, they just are kind of in the air. In terms of the first date, I feel like they should be a little bit more casual, but not too casual. Like, so, let me say that, because too casual date. Go ahead.
So, yeah, and I think that's where we kind of have differing views. I'm starting to see that because I think that's what we always tell our young people in the church, the statement that you said, which is, you should only date when you're ready to get married, because when you're dating, the goal is marriage. And I think when we say that, though, when we say that, Nehemi, I think it plays in the mind of the young person, and then it says, so, you know, when I date someone, you know, that's a potential spouse, right? And what I think we should say is, we could still say that statement, but we have to be careful and to say that, listen, dating has to be casual, because you, like you said, you don't know. So, you know, I think, because that's what happens. 60, I don't want to say the age. Well, I'll say 18-year-old Eric, you know, who usually all his friends in school started at 16, even 15. You know, 18-year-old Eric waited till he had his license and he was able to drive and he had money and all that stuff. But he put dating on this platform where, yes, he felt like, oh. And this is the other thing. When he dated, he felt like he was ready for marriage. 18-year-old Eric was not ready for marriage. He thought he was ready for marriage, but he was absolutely not. And he went into that date thinking that he found he was going to marry this person. So this was all just a formality instead of this. There's a purpose behind it, and that is to learn to be comfortable around somebody, to learn about somebody, you know, have conversation and things like that, and to relax. I think the other thing I would have told 18-year-old Eric is to relax. He was too stiff. He was stiff. I mean, he felt like this was, like he was being graded. And if he was graded, actually, he would have got an F, but he felt like he was being graded. He's like, this is the worst story. I'm telling this story and letting it out so people do not fall into the same trap that I fell into, which is horrible. It took me a while to get out of it. And so that's why my views are, there should be times, and they are, I think that in my belief, there are times that it's okay to have an interest in someone and to date completely casual because there's no stakes, right? And the stakes being, this person, you never know. Could this person be a potential future spouse? Yes, but this person could just be someone that we're just gonna have a fun, safe time. And that's my belief. I think that allowing young people to explore that a little more will allow them to have the confidence to know how to date better. And that's what I like to look at. I want our young people to know how to date well. I don't want 18-year-old Erics running around where they're putting on suits, taking 3 hours before, getting ready before a date is good. But I mean, he took like 3 hours getting ready. He was nervous as all could be. He shined his shoes. He literally shined his shoes. He shined his shoes like he was going into a military inspection, okay, for this date. He didn't have to do that. And I wish he dated a little more so that he would have been a little less nervous and he wouldn't have at least put all this rigmarole in on a first date. When you don't know, even though you're dating to find a future spouse, this person was not going to be your future spouse, you know? Sorry, 18-year-old Eric, but that was the reality. So that's my thoughts on it. I know your thoughts are a little more stricter in that you don't want to date a lot, but I think that increase, hear me out here about this, Naomi. I think that, you know, growing up in the Haitian church, we're thinking in our minds, we're going to have like, I don't know, I'll put the number at like 30 dates in our entire life, and then we'll find our spouse. And that's a good number. But I'm just saying that maybe we should tell our young people to increase that number a little bit higher, maybe 60, right? So that it's not this strict finding of a spouse, but it's more of finding a person that we can hang out with, which can lead to the courtship of realizing that this is my future potential spouse. Do you get what I'm saying? What do you say on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree and disagree with you. I think most of the reason is terminology. So the way you define dating, I think of dating as like relationship, but the way you explained it, I think of it more in the sense of talking. So I'm not sure what terminology was relevant like while you were growing up, and I know as far for me now, there's like talking, dating, and if you're a Christian, like courtship and relationship. I have my perspective on it. Different people have their perspective on it. I know like some Christians, they don't believe in relationships because it's too worldly, and they think of more so courting and courtship. So as for me, I don't think Okay, I personally would not promote dating. Because when I think of dating, I think of relationships. Talking, getting to know somebody, yes. I don't think you should limit yourself to like the first person you talk to is going to be the person you marry. That's kind of unrealistic, mostly because around the time you first started talking to someone is gonna be around the time when you hit puberty. That's when like your hormones and all that stuff, like when you actually start showing interest into like other people and stuff, where you start, if that makes sense. So like around that time, then you're not really sure, but like most people like try and befriend them, all that, whatever. So I think in terms of like the church, the community, youth, and things that could be approached, it's okay to talk to people. And the first person you talk to isn't necessarily going to be like your boyfriend is or girlfriend. It's necessarily going to be like your husband or your wife or whatever the case may be. You might talk to 50 different people before you find your future forever and ever. Or it might only take you 3 people to like, it very much depends on the person. So I don't think we should like, as far as the youth, I don't think we should mostly, and there's no number. I can't even put a number on. I just gave an example, but you can't really put a number on it because it varies from different from person to person and from case to case. So kind of like how you're mentioning, I wouldn't use the word dating, like I said before, just because like when I think of dating, I think of relationships. We've had conversations before where I've expressed to you like I don't want to be in multiple relationships before I find my future husband. One or two relationships, maybe three at most, and then I find my husband. But that's because like I take a lot of pride in my relationships and I put so much on there on the table. So it's like I'm not entering into a relationship with just any and everyone. There are certain criterias I feel like a person should be able to meet and that I should be able to meet before entering into a relationship. And there are certain things you should look for in a person, in yourself, before you enter into a relationship. And while you're in that relationship, there are certain things you also need to do, your partner needs to do individually and together in order to sustain that relationship. And even then, it doesn't necessarily, work out. I think when you kept saying dating, I would rephrase it with date. Like, not necessarily dating, but dates. Like, should we go on dates and stuff? Dates,
Go on
yes.
dates.
Like,
Got it.
yeah. With different people. So it's like if you are approached by someone or there's someone you see a spark of interest, you can talk to them. That's the talking phase or whatever. Or you can go like on a date or two, see where it goes. You shouldn't feel limited or should feel like, oh, the first thing you go to, this is gonna be my forever after. No, that's the time that you take to get to know that person. And you get to know them, through different environments, through different scopes, and like put them in a situation or like go on a date where you both place in a situation where there's a lot of pressure applied or there's a lot of stress applied or there's like heat. So you know how that person reacts under pressure. And like go on a date where it's like it's a relaxed environment. So how does this person like react? Like try to understand your person.
Hold up. Give an example of a date where you're in a stressful situation. Like, give an example of that.
I don't know. It would honestly depend on a person. Like, say this might sound stupid, but say a person is like afraid of heights or whatever, and you decide to go on a date where it's like there's height involved. How do they react in that situation? Like in an emergency, fake emergency situation? Because like the way a person acts in different situations is gonna tell you a lot about them. If the only type of dates you're going on with the person is just like dinner dates that are like formal or like casual, you're not really going to find out much information about them. Go do something adventurous. Go do something relaxing. Go do that pumps, your adrenaline. Like, that gives you a little bit of anxiety. Like, try different things. And I'm not saying you have to step in or scoop down to like the worldly level to do things. But you can, expand your horizon, I guess. And also, to date seasonally, if that makes sense. Like, try to know your person during the winter, spring, summer, and fall, because different people act differently according to the season. Regardless if you think you do or not, it has an influence on people. And the way a person might act during the summer may not be the same way they act once fall hits around, because there are, environmental factors and stuff like that. So I think it's important to put them into different situations, put yourself into different situations Are you guys still compatible when you're both under pressure? Are you guys still compatible when you're both angry? Are you still compatible when you're both sad? And those are like important things to kind of like know and to look for. And those are things you can look for when you go on dates with somebody. So dating, I wouldn't suggest going on dates with multiple people at the same time, because that's just going to create confusion. But if you find some of interest that you want to get to know more, you can go on dates with them, like one or two, three dates here and there, and to different situations, like a casual. You can, if you feel like there's potential, you can go on a formal date. And from that formal date, you guys could like decide together or whatever. If you want to pursue into a relationship, like a formal date should happen around the time where you feel like you're both ready to enter into like a formal relationship. Before then, just keep it casual. Like I said, go for a walk in the park, having a simple conversation. Most of the youth in the church that I know, we're not allowed to go nowhere and we can't really do much. And then the pandemic hit, so we really can't really do much. But, if you're not restricted or you don't live under a strict household and you have some type of freedom, or, include your parents too. Family. Like, when you date, it's important to, have somebody know, if that makes sense. Don't do it in hiding. Because God forbid something happens to you, you have no one to back you up, no one to support you, because you entered there alone. And, like, yes, you weren't necessarily alone because God was with you and he most likely protected you from that situation becoming worse, quote unquote. But having a family or somebody else who knows allows that extra support, who can like back you up in case something does were to happen.
Are young people having virtual dates? Is that a thing during this pandemic? Do you think that's a thing? People do virtual dates, go on virtual dates?
I don't know. I wouldn't. Me personally, I don't really believe in online dating. I know there's been a couple people, or a lot of people, honestly, who have found their person from online dating. But the way catfishing works on social media and everything else in between, I need that in like face-to-face interaction, that in person, in real life. Because I know, as for me, when I have Zoom classes, I put on a face, a persona. I attend class, the moment they say, all right guys, have a good, leave meeting, and everything about me changes, my whole mood, everything else. So I could say the same concept would apply to virtual dating, but I've never really stepped foot into that realm, so I can't really speak on it much. But as far as if youth or people are doing it, most likely, because I'm sure they were doing it before the pandemic too, especially if you do long distance relationships or stuff like that, virtual interaction. But if you're talking to someone or dating someone virtually and you guys have never met in real life, that's a red flag. That's a red flag. Make sure you meet the person in person at least once.
Yes. Yes. It seems the catfishing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not just, there's a lot people can, put on a lot behind the camera, but you can't really do as much in person. I don't know if that made sense. It probably didn't, but it made sense in my head.
And it's interesting, because I think when people go on dates too, even in person, there is a little bit of, I'm on my best behavior. And I think that's why you were mentioning, stressful situations, things like that, because that puts them out of their element and now they're uncomfortable. So then their real colors can show and you can see if this person has a temper or things that are not compatible with you, which is really good. And I think these are reasons why we should encourage allowing people to go on dates. All right, I'm going to change my terminology, because dating for you is like what in my, what I would say, relationship or be exclusive. That's what I would use. Saved by the Bell and shows that I watched growing up, they would say in high school, going steady, and that's still in my brain. Like, we're going, and the funny thing is, growing up in the Haitian church, I didn't understand any of this. All I knew is I would fall into the biblical example, which is, I see a girl I like, and that's my Rachel. And then, boom, that's it. That's all I thought it was going to be. And listen, 18-year-old Eric, that's not how it happens, okay? It don't happen like that. It's very rare. Jacob's situation was 4,000 years ago. Okay, it was a different culture and different time. You're living in a different time. So let's talk about more on going on dates again. So let's make it an example. All right. You have a 17-year-old daughter. All right, I'm not gonna say son. Because usually sons, they're given the permission. Mom, dad, can I go on a date? Sure thing, son, you're all set. But let's do it the one that gets the most restrictions. Let's say a daughter. You have a 17-year-old daughter. This boy has asked her out to go see a movie. What do you say to her?
I'm going to say no. And I'm gonna tell you why I would say no. The reason why I would say no is I thought movie dates were cute until I went to college, and then I found out the real reason behind why guys take girls on movie dates, and it's not. I don't want my daughter now.
Okay.
No. It's just yeah.
Okay. No. So here's my thing. You gave a beautiful example and a reason why you'd say no. Are you telling that to your daughter? Or are you just saying no?
I hope not. I hope I'm not doing the same things my parents was doing on my future kids. I feel like my daughter is 17 years old. And I was 17, I was a senior in high school. So she'll probably either be a senior in high school or maybe a junior in high school. Hopefully by that age, she will have instilled in her what my husband and I would have taught her in terms of like herself as a person. And herself as a Christian, and like, you know, protect herself. And hopefully her dad would have done spoken to her too. So, in that example, it would really depend on that boy. Have a conversation with my daughter.
So let's go on another hypothetical route now, because this is fun. All right. So you know the boy.
Can I continue that one though? Ooh. Okay.
Okay. Continue what you were gonna say.
We're gonna keep it like that. So
okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, you can never really truly know somebody. And as a parent, especially a daughter, you're gonna have extra like a soft spot for them. And it's gonna be extra sensitive because you know how the world is. And like if anything ever turns left, the female always gets the most everything compared to the guy since the very, very, very beginning. So my daughter, she wants to go on a movie date. Her father would need to talk to the boy or, you know, have a conversation. And he would also need to speak to my daughter. But as far as me and my daughter, the conversation we would need to have is, first of all, where are you going? What time is the movie? I need to know the who, what, when, where, why's. Not to be overprotective or all over her, but it's just a matter of respecting. Like when you step out, you should let your wife or your parents know like where you are and what time you're coming back. It's also a safety thing too. So having a conversation, okay, what movie are you guys going to see? Where are you going to see it and stuff or whatever. And hopefully by that time, we would have already had the talk as a family. So she'll, you know, have that, how to protect herself. What to look out for, but not to look out for, and also to like remember who you are. And if you're not comfortable with something, to speak up and be able to say no, to have the courage to say no. And if things are going in a direction where you know it's not a path that you want to walk down, it's okay to walk away. And you can call me or your father, and we will pick you up. I wouldn't I would try not to speak to her in a way to feel fearful or to feel judged in case something do happen, because I want my children to have the ability to come to me and like speak to me. So that one, that's kind of a tough one. I didn't really think about my kids going like dating yet.
Listen, this was a beautiful rundown, because I love how you first said you were not gonna let it happen, but then you started thinking about it, and then you even permission to your hypothetical daughter, who is not existing yet, gave permission, and you just had a deep conversation with her. And that is beautiful, because the way you mentioned it, I have a feeling like your hypothetical daughter, we're not going to say what's to come, but you know, she would have this kind of mentality where, yeah, years down the all of like movie day. Nah, you best you know who I am. You know my parents. We ain't going on no movie day. You better come to me correct, and we're gonna go to a nice establishment, not the super expensive, but you know, the good mid range. You know, whatever the Olive Garden of the future will be, or something like that. So, because that's the next scenario I wanted to say. What if the boy did come correct and he knows your daughter and you and your hypothetical husband and is just like, no, I ain't going to no movie day. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to bring her to a nice establishment for some food and bring her home on time because I like to hang out with her. What say that? The boy is respectable and good, and he crossed all his T's and dotted all his I's. What do you say to your daughter then?
I would still have the same conversation, because if something seems too good to be true, sometimes it usually is. As far as movies, I do have my own personal feelings towards movies. I don't trust them. I try to steer clear of movie dates because it just seems like a trap. But that doesn't necessarily mean like that's the case for every situation, or that something is gonna go down. Another thing I forgot to mention that like would be like an important thing to mention to my daughter is the time and the type of movie you're watching. So the movie you're watching, is it appropriate, and is it something you're gonna feel comfortable with, and would you be able to have a conversation with me about everything that just happened, or your little sibling, or your best friend, or are you gonna feel hesitant, awkward, or ashamed to even speak about it? And the second thing is like the time. What time are you guys going and what time are you coming back? Is it appropriate for you as a female, and is it in line with like your curfew and all of that? The day you're going, are you going on Sabbath or are you going on a school night? Do you have an exam the next day? Like what day are you going? I feel like there's a lot of things to kind of take into encounter, and I only feel like because those are the things that I would think of, because that kind of comes along with the who, what, when, where, why, how. Because those are the things that I would have to present if I wanted to go on a movie date to my parents. Not my parents, my entire family. So it's just like, I feel like they're important information to know. And the approach that I had or my family had with me is going to be different from the ones I have with my children. Because I don't want like, you know, I don't want no trauma or nothing like, nothing of that sort, like to my daughter. I want her to be able to have a conversation to feel comfortable, be like, hey, mom, me and so-and-so are going on a date. We're going to go here. We're going to watch this movie and stuff. We should be back at this time. Not only should she have a conversation with me, but the boy, out of respect and love for my daughter and me as her parent, should also have the same conversation with me. Hey, Miss Lamar, I'm going out with your daughter, or like Mr. and Mrs. Lamar, I'm going with your daughter. We're going here. We're going to such and such time. I'll have your daughter back. Like that to me, that shows respect. For my daughter, and it shows respect to me as a parent. Like if you're able to come to me and have these conversations with me, you're able to communicate these things to my daughter. I know some guys like to do surprise dates. I don't like surprises. I don't do surprises, because a lot of times surprises, no. I feel like as a female, you should know where you're going, what to expect, so you know how to prepare yourself. When you don't know anything and you're completely blindsided, I feel like you could fall victim to a lot of situations. So I feel like it's important to be aware of your surroundings and what kind of situation you're putting yourself into.
Listen, I was people who are watching could see my facial expressions when you first were saying about the conversation, because I could have benefited from that. Like, I wish I had that. Like, I wish they would talk to me about that stuff, so I would have been better. Like, the whole taking out, would I be comfortable talking to my parents about these movies and things like that? Like, let's just talk to our young people. Let's just have conversations with them so that they know how to date better. I mean, man, we can't have 18-year-old Erics anymore. It's a travesty. It's a travesty to have a kid thinking that, you know, I put on a suit and I'll be the best dater in the world. And all it is just window dressing, literally. You have to learn how to have conversation. You have to learn to get to know someone. And the best way is if we have conversations about it. We don't have to go, you know, A through Z in what is dating. But I think young people would benefit if we actually had these conversations and maybe even do a little of this, you know, scenario kind of thing. Like, I think a church would do very well to have an AY where there's a scenario of a date or a scenario of asking a parent for permission to go on a date. And the parents can learn how to have a conversation with the kid. The kid learns how to come correct to the parents, you know, on both sides, the parents of the person you're asking out and the parents of your own parents. I mean, I think when we make dating, going on dates, I got to remember that, going on dates, this completely taboo thing. I mean, you made some great examples that there are certain things you don't want your child to go through. You know, there's certain places that can be, let's say, not hazardous, but a little perilous for, you know, young people to be subject to, you know, when they're just supposed to have a casual date, right? So we can guide them in that direction. But I mean, to just have the conversation is, man, it's, baby, if you went in the DeLorean and went back in time, you know, to 18-year-old Eric, you could have saved him so much grief. And he probably would have listened to you more than myself, because I just go back time and I say, hey, 18-year-old Eric. And then he goes, but are you married though? And then I say, yes. And then he says, it's all good then. I'm like, no. I know how he is. I know how 18-year-old Eric would just be like, but you married though. And I'd be like, yeah. But anyway, I think you get where I'm going, Naomi. I think what I'm trying to tell the listeners at home, the parents, young people who listen to this podcast, is we just need to have the conversation. I just so wish that I had the conversation. It wasn't just the, you know, for Haitian boys, it's the, all right, go have fun. You know, the girls get the benefit of the, but they, you, if, I feel like the girls, you guys get conversation, but you guys get it in a way that you wish you didn't get it. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Like the way they approach you in that conversation, they put a lot of pressure on you. Am I correct, Naomi? They put a lot of pressure, like, you know, watch out, you know, this and that and this and this and that and this and that.
Yeah, I mean, for my family, this is a little shady, but I still love you guys. For them, I know, like, growing up, a lot of them experienced things that they don't necessarily want me to go through. So their love comes from a very tough, tough side. So the conversations that they have are very tough. And a lot of things that they have to say, like, they tell me, it's really hard to hear. But, like, thankfully, you know, I was able to, like, hear what they said and like transcribe it in a way that wasn't so hurtful but rather helpful. Yes. If that makes sense. For a lot of females, they don't really even have an opportunity to have conversation. And my family will tell me all the time, you're very lucky you have someone to talk to you. Yes, I am, but the way how you guys talk definitely matters too. So not having the ability to have someone to talk to you or to tell you how things do or how to like go about things, but also having like a proper conversation, the type of conversation you have and how you approach your child is also important too. But I feel like for, actually, I can't really say that. As for the guys, I don't really know. From the experience that I have with the youth at my church, I must say no. Because a lot of them seem like they don't have experience.
Let me tell you from at least my experience, all right? In the fact that I didn't get any conversation. I got the typical tips that you get from, like, they gave me tips, right? Not conversation, they gave me tips. Like, make sure you compliment her, right? The little window dressing things that you get from watching romance movies, you know, you compliment her and you open the doors for her and all this simple stuff, which you can pick up from just being courteous and kind, which should be already inherent in someone's character, right? What I needed in that moment is, Eric, why are you putting on a suit? You don't need to put on a suit. Where are you going? Oh, just dinner and movie. What kind of restaurant? Is it a 5-star restaurant? No, it's a regular chain. Okay, if it's a chain, you don't have to put on a suit. You're going to put on this nice shirt, you know, nice slacks, not sneakers, but, you know, we don't have to, right? And relax, take a breath. Like, I wish I had that conversation. That's what I'm aiming for this episode to say. Just having that conversation. And I didn't get any of that. Right? I didn't get any of that because it was treated like, you know, oh, this is a normal thing, and it is a normal thing, but how am I supposed to learn if you don't give me a little instruction? I'm in fact, out of all the things that my parents gave me instruction on, you know, this is one of the things I was like begging for instruction. Like all the time, you know, when it's, you know, church or stuff, and then they give you a lecture, school, they give you a lecture and all that stuff, and you're just like, oh gosh, here comes another lecture. Like, I wish that I had that time where my mom and dad say, hey, Eric, sit down, we want to talk to you. And I'd be like, oh gosh, what is, we're going to tell you, you know, how you can date, go on dates. See, I keep fixing it. Go on date. I would have sat up. I would have been like, yes, please tell me, because I don't know how to do this. And that's what I'm trying to say. So Nahemi, let's end on this. If you can, I let it off my chest. Yeah, I'm okay now. I let it out of my chest. If you could unload what your thoughts are to parents and young people out there in the church, what would you tell them about going on dates, eventually going in the dating realm, going into relationship? What would you tell them?
To parents, I would say have conversation with your children. But in order to have a conversation with your children, you need to learn how to have a conversation with your children. It's a big life, and you want the best for your child, as most parents do. So be aware of information. In order to do so, you have to be mindful of the relationship that you have with your children. It's going to be hard for you as a parent to come forward to your child and have a meaningful conversation, even though you're having the conversation and you're aware of the way it might be received. If there is no bond or no foundational type of relationship established, they're going to be a little bit more standoffish towards you. To the youth, females and males, it's okay to go on. The first person you have feelings for, you have a crush on, is not always going to be your husband or wife. you might have to talk to more than one person, and you might get your heart broken from talking to more than one person. You might enter into one relationship and it be your last relationship, or you might enter into multiple relationships before you actually find the person that you're meant to be with, and that's okay. You don't need to feel pressured that everything needs to be perfect for the first one. If it is, it just so happens to be like that, and great. If it doesn't, then don't try and force it. Don't beat yourself down for it. Don't, you know, it's okay. And as far as like dating, for guys, don't, if you didn't have this conversation, if you're like 18-year-old Eric, I don't have much experience, but you can say this for me as a female. Be aware of where you're taking the female. Be aware of how you're talking to her, you're approaching her, your attitude towards her, and your interests, and your genuine, and your intention. Where are they coming from, and what exactly are you hoping for? Would you be okay with another man moving the same way you're moving towards that female to your mom or your sister? If you're not okay with that, then don't move in the same manner with her, because you know you wouldn't be okay with it. As for females, know who you are, know your self-worth, your value, like what you stand for, and don't be afraid to say no for anything that you feel like you don't deserve. Like, know your value. Know if a man is not willing to do the basic minimum or the bare minimum, you don't have to settle for that. Like, don't settle for less. And be aware of his approach. Be aware of how he comes at you. Be aware of his intention. How does he move? Is he interested in you, or is he only interested in certain things? How does he move in terms of like you, your religion, your spirit, but most importantly, your family? A man who is genuinely interested in you and wanting to be with you long term is gonna want to be involved with your family. A man who's afraid to meet your family or afraid to get connected with your family is a man who's not really ready for a commitment. So be aware of all these things. And when you go on dates, it doesn't need to be so formal. It can be casual. It can be as easy as a walk in the park, watching the sunset, or like watching the sunrise, going for a run together, exercising, going to grab coffee, going out to brunch, going to study, doing Bible study. There's really no limits to what you can do for studying. Even as a Christian, just know your boundaries, know what you're okay with and what you're not okay with, and know what's like acceptable, what's not. And yeah, have fun, guys.
All right, Nehemia, thank you for coming on the podcast. And everybody, if you enjoyed this conversation about dating, or if there's another topic you'd like us to talk about, let us know. All right, so see you next time here on Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. God bless.